Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
You heard it, one prayer after another. Will you pray with me? Appear to us now, O Lord, in the hearing of your word. Call us and guide us that we may be saved. Amen. The scripture reading is from the New Testament, Matthew 6, 1 through 8, on pages 6 and 7 of the New Testament in your Bibles. Please read along with me. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received your reward. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. The scripture lesson continues Jesus' teaching about almsgiving and prayer. Jesus said, "Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." This is the word of the Lord. When I worked at McDonald's back in the hoary mists of time, there was an elderly couple, like really elderly couple, who came in every night, about an hour or so before we closed. They came in and they ordered two strawberry shakes. And they went and they sat down pretty much always in the same booth, because seriously, who's in McDonald's at that hour? And they sat down and they had their strawberry shakes together in silence. And I didn't probably understand what they were doing at that time, but this week that couple came back to me. They didn't show up at the door. I think they're probably gone by now. But they came back to me as I was thinking about prayer. Jesus is teaching us about prayer this week. Now, the best evidence I think we have that Jesus did not intend to found a new religion is how little useful information he gives us about how to be religious. So he gets to this part of the Sermon on the Mount. He's been talking about, you know, God is taking care of you and that, you know, how to be a present and responsible person in God's presence. And he turns to talk about almsgiving and prayer and fasting, these like classic religious disciplines. And it's like Jesus is saying, okay, now we've gotten to the religious stuff here. What you need to know about religious stuff is don't let anyone see you. Just over and over again, he says, don't do this so that you can be seen and observed and congratulated. Do this all in secret, and God, who sees in secret, will reward you. Now, this is especially hard for us as preachers. I think you should understand how hard I have it up here, because we have to pass along to you all of these great religious instructions that we never got. Because Jesus never gave us any religious instructions here. Okay, that's maybe overstating the case. But I think we come from a long tradition of overstating the case. I think we come from a long tradition of taking Jesus a little more seriously than we ought when he says, never talk about prayer. Don't share that with anybody. I think we need to be taught how to pray. And we need to be taught how to pray more than we need to like talk about what prayer does. I don't want to talk about what prayer does because I don't know exactly what prayer does. But I know that we are called to pray. I know that we are led to pray by our own needs and hungers and by what God is doing in us. And so what I want to say about praying is, one, that we can grow in this way of relating with God, that however you pray right now is not the only way that you can ever pray. And however you used to pray and don't pray anymore, that wasn't the only way you can pray either. And the key to this life of prayer is to remember not only that we can be in relationship with God in different ways, but to remember that it's God that we are in this relationship with. So let me tell you about how I learned to pray. I learned to pray in a Presbyterian church, which is to say nobody ever taught me how to pray, because we don't do that as Presbyterians. I heard plenty of prayer, right? I heard plenty of ritual spoken prayer, those prayers that come right after other prayers when we gather for worship. I heard unison prayers that I said along with the rest of the congregation. I heard pastoral prayers that some highly educated, well-paid person up front said on my behalf. I heard those extemporaneous prayers that my Sunday school teachers offered. And that's all one way to do it. All of those talking out loud prayers are one way to pray. I was taught, well, to pray, you just talk to God like you're talking to a good friend, right? And so I did. And what I didn't realize at the time, but I do realize now, is that I talked to God like a friend in all of the sort of carefully structured liturgical ways of praying that we learned in worship and in Sunday school. I learned that there's a pattern to how I pray, even when I thought I was just talking to God like a friend. I don't talk to any of my friends like that, right? Now, those conversations with God, they eventually grew into these really long nighttime conversations with God that felt really intense and honestly really kind of anxious about who I was and who I thought God was and how I thought God was going to be doing things in my life. And then, as I was waiting to become a parent, as we knew who Ian was and we knew that he was going to show up before too long, those conversations went completely silent for me. I could no longer talk to God in that same conversational kind of way. It's not that God wasn't there, It's not even that God wasn't listening, it's that God wasn't listening in that way anymore. And it was kind of a strange feeling to have my prayer life go dark when I'm like a professional prayer person and something major is about to happen in my life. That was a little weird. But it was a right kind of weird. It was a kind of weird that I knew was actually God doing something new in my life that I was not going to be able to put words on for a long time, because see, the whole thing was not putting words on things, right? And now, if I'm honest, that just talking to God kind of prayer often kind of sits with me like I'm talking to an imaginary friend. And I know God is not an imaginary friend. I know that's not who God is. And I know that for those of you for whom talking to God is exactly like talking to a friend out loud in that conversational kind of way, I know that you are not talking to an imaginary friend. But I know that my prayer sits differently than that now. Well, there was grace, because prior to that big shift in the way that I prayed, prior to that, my real initiation into genuine, deep prayer came through silence. Now, for a long time, silence was kind of the context for those verbal back and forth conversations that would just happen inside me rather than outside me, but still lots and lots of words running around. But then eventually, when those words would run out, I knew that silence was just that safe embrace of God's presence that was with me, whether I was saying things to God out loud or not. And increasingly, prayer is that silence itself, the silence that just recognizes that God's presence is there with me, the way that you can be just silent with good friends or longtime coworkers or an old couple at McDonald's about an hour before closing over strawberry shakes. Now, if you ask me to pray, I'm not necessarily going to say, well, just sit down and be quiet, because I know myself better than that, and I assume you're a lot like that too, that just plain sitting down and being quiet is not necessarily the way to structure growth in your prayer life. In honesty, what I'm likely to give you is the prayer that we just read, that prayer that Jesus taught, that particular set of words that Jesus taught. And I'm going to give you words because I don't trust any of us to be disciplined enough just for silence. If you want to grow, I think there's need for silence and there's need to know more than just whatever happens to bounce through your head as you're sitting quietly. I'm going to give you a set of words because I believe that what shapes the people of prayer that we are is what we pray. What we pray shapes the people of prayer that we're going to be. That is, incidentally, why we put the words of those liturgical prayers, those things that the professional prayer person stands up and says, we put those on the screen. Not because you need to be reading along, but because that may be a place for you to hang on while we are praying together. That might make the difference between waiting for the professional prayer person to get done talking and praying along with all the rest of us. And if you don't need those words in front of your eyes, then do whatever else you need to do with your eyes during that time, of course. But I give you not just a particular set of words, but that particular set of words if you want to learn more about praying, because I am not nearly as qualified to prescribe a set of words as Jesus is. And I give you that specific set of words because Jesus implies that those are the only words we actually need to say. But there's an irony in all of that, isn't there? Because you read the whole passage together with me, there's an irony in giving you a very specific set of words to pray that comes from a passage of Scripture where Jesus says we don't need fancy piles of words in order to pray properly. It's like saying that you have to pray in that same rambling, stammering, way of conversation with God that I practiced those years ago. Or it's like saying that we have to say this particular 400-year-old translation of this particular 2,000-year-old prayer that Jesus taught us so that we wouldn't have to use fancy words in our praying. There's some irony in this. Now, I actually use a newer translation of the Lord's Prayer when I say it in my own prayer life. I'm going to invite you at the end of the sermon to say that newer translation with me, just to try that on, to try on words that are not centuries old for this particular prayer. But Jesus is telling us that it's not just saying empty words that gets us an audience with God. But in fact, any set of words can become rote and empty. The pastor Brian Zond said, liturgy is not alive or dead, liturgy being those words that we use in worship. He said, liturgy is not alive or dead. Liturgy is either true or false. It is we who are alive or dead. And so we can pray with whatever set of words in a way that is in fact alive and open to the presence of God, and we can pray in a way that is completely closed to the presence of God, regardless of how amazing our words happen to be. Because silence is really all that God needs. As Jesus said, God already knows everything that we need anyway, but what God wants is our attention. What God wants is our engagement. What God wants is our relationship. And the words are there kind of like that strawberry shake an hour before closing at McDonald's. The words are there to frame the space, to say, this is who we are, this is what we're doing at this point. And our work is just to be present to what we're doing, to turn toward the cross when we sing the Gloria Patri, to share food and drink with each other when we gather around this table in just a few minutes. Our work is to enter into the space that is held by the way that we pray. And those words and those actions are what shape us. When we say, Our Father, we are praying to a God who loves us deeply, and we are doing that together. When we take and eat, take and drink, we are sharing God's goodness with each other. When we present our offerings with a song of praise, we give thanks that God gives us everything that we need. And all of those actions, they become automatic. And they can be automatic in a really good way, in the way that I think praise and thanksgiving and trust and community are meant to be automatic. And so we have these habits that are like the habits that people in that football game, whose name I'm legally prohibited from saying out loud, practice running and catching until those things become automatic. Like people in physical therapy practice walking and dressing themselves until those things become automatic again. Like students practice how reading and math work until those things become automatic and you can use them to do other things in the world. Like musicians practice breathing, that natural action that is somehow transformed when we refine it in the special way that musicians do. In fact, if I were going to say that prayer is one thing, I would say it's like breathing. It's something that we do naturally, something that we can't even prevent ourselves from doing, but something that we can do so much more when we attend to it. And so that's what I invite us to do, just for a moment. What I know about praying is that it is the awareness of God's presence. And praying can be anything that we happen to do in God's presence. But what I'm going to invite us to do in God's presence right now is to breathe and then to speak. I'm going to ask Ryan to put the Lord's Prayer on the screen here. This is a newer ecumenical translation of the Lord's Prayer that has been supported by many different denominations, including our own, but it's like 350 years newer than the Lord's Prayer we normally say on Sunday mornings. So these words will be slightly different for you. I invite you to say those with me when we get to the talking part of this prayer. But prayer is like breathing. So I invite you to just breathe with me for a moment. God is here, and so I invite you to speak these words with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
We will now have a moment for mission. The youth will now tell you about Super Bowl of Caring.
Hello, I am Karsten Barker.
And I am Carter Barker. We are here this morning to tell you a little about the Super Bowl of Caring.
On Super Bowl Sunday, youth from all over the United States work in their own communities to help tackle hunger. Our youth group has joined this nationwide movement, choosing to collect food and monetary donations to help DMARC's local food pantries. DMARC is a close mission partner of Covenant.
We thank everyone who has brought canned items this morning or placed money in our Super Bowls as you entered the sanctuary. Your donations are much appreciated. If you have not given and want to, we will be in the NYSACs after worship as well.
Please remember as you sit down to watch the game this afternoon, some yummy snacks and treats. Not everyone is as fortunate as we are.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.